Our first scripture reading for this sixth Sunday of Easter is found in your Bibles in the book of Acts, the 17th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 16. While Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons, and in the marketplace, every day with those who happened to be there. Some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him. And some said, "What does this babbler wish to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities, because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection." And they took hold of him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? For you bring some strange things to our ears. We wish to know, therefore, what these things mean." Now all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you: the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. As even some of your own poets have said, 'For we are indeed his offspring.' Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from the first epistle of St. Peter, the third chapter, and we begin reading at verse 13. "Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey God. And God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. And we read verses 15 through 21. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you. From God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text for today is based on St. Peter's words in the third chapter of his first letter. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is our text. What a strange way for confirmation to take place. We've gathered together here, one family on one side of the church, another family on the other side of the church. We took a few risks before the services started today. We stood actually next to each other, myself and the confirmands, and took pictures, but we did hold our breath. Later on, we'll be having the rite of confirmation, and normally I'd be grabbing their hands and putting my hands on their head and blessing them, and we're not going to do any of that today. Got to keep our distance. You know, that's not the way we were made to behave. When God made us, he gave us flesh and blood. And our well-being is not just a matter of what goes on up here. Our well-being is also greatly affected by what goes on here. We're meant to shake hands. We're meant to give hugs. We're meant to take children upon our laps and to read books to them and things like that. Human touch is so important to us. And during these last few months, for many people, it's been greatly lacking, especially those in our nursing homes and hospitals. And they feel it. In fact, many years ago, there was a study with babies. No such study like this could ever be conducted today, but many years ago in orphanages, orphan babies would just be fed and nourished and not cuddled or held, at least in some large orphanages. And a study was done to determine why there was such a high mortality rate in this particular orphanage. And they separated the infants into groups, and one group was prescribed a half hour, at least two times a day, of just holding and cuddling. The other group did not receive that. Oh, they got their diapers changed, they got fed their bottles, but the human touch was missing. And not surprisingly, what they found is that those children that weren't held or touched continued to have a very high mortality rate, while the other group thrived. We're not just minds. We're flesh and blood. And when God chose to redeem us, he didn't just do it by speaking a word. He did it by asking his son to take on our human flesh, to feel what we feel. Not just in the mind, not just with our emotions, but in our flesh. To know all that we go through, he became one of us. Because his intent was not just to redeem our minds or our spirits. When we are with the Lord one day, we're not going to be angels having wings. And we're not going to be just disembodied spirits floating around. We're going to be us. The bodies, I presume, will be cleaned up a bit from the abuse they've taken in this life. But we'll be who we are. Body and mind and spirit. And to make this more clear, as God determined to speak to us the words of our redemption, he decided to do it not just with words. He speaks about our redemption by touching us. When we're brought into this world, at least for most of us, very soon thereafter, we were baptized. God touched us by combining his word with water. And in that act, our sins are washed away. But that is a once-in-a-lifetime event, so God instituted another means by which he can continue to reach out and to touch us. This supper, which we're about to celebrate, is a place where God gets really close to us. That blood is shed on the cross. That blood of Jesus touches us. It becomes one with us as we drink it. That body that was pierced, it becomes part of us. God gives us his very own body to touch, to feel, to eat. So that we know God's love and forgiveness not just here, but here. Baptism, which we are a little focused on because of the reading from 2 Peter, speaks to us a lot about how God loves us and redeems us. It is the act by which we enter into the Christian life. But it's amazingly uncomplicated and simple. A little water, something that, you know, we can't be without for very long without dying. The most abundant substance on the face of the earth. A little water, and what words? Well, if you can remember the name of God, that's about all you need to know. Go ye therefore, Jesus said, and baptize in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And in this simple act, we are united to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in his death and in his resurrection. And all our sins, past, present, and future, are washed away. You know, humanity has always been inventing new religions. And one of the hallmarks of all religions outside of Christianity is that it's always rooted in something you have to do. Oh, the commands you have to follow may differ. Some are far more complex than others. But when God instituted baptism as the means by which we are joined with Christ, the very nature of that act tells us how free is the grace that God has made us. A little water, which is always around. And all you have to remember is the name of God. And all the blessings that God promises to his children become yours. And it's easy for us to forget that. As we live out our lives here on this earth, the devil is always trying to make things more complicated for us than they really are. We try to cover up our sins in all kinds of ways or manage them. Sometimes with lies and deceit, with excuses and justifications, hiding, or sometimes as guilt weighs upon us heavily. We go about trying to do things to make up for it. But though we may do great and wonderful works, that guilt still gnaws away at us. Luther, whose catechism we've been using this morning, had a lot of difficulty himself, coping with all the burdens that were upon him as he led the Reformation. They say in multiple places that he often suffered from what in those days was called melancholy. Today we'd call it depression. The burdens of life just at times seemed to be too great. He felt himself a failure. He feared what might come. And one of the things that he did to cope, if you will, with the attacks of the devil trying to eat away at his soul was somewhere on his desk, and how he wrote it is a matter of dispute. But he put these simple words, "Remember, you were baptized." And when depression would arrive, when he felt like the weight of the world was upon him, when he wasn't sure what to do next, he would look at those words and be reminded that he didn't have to fear, didn't have to worry, and that even if he failed, God would be there to lift him up. God would be there to love him and forgive him and to give him hope. And what did he have to do in order to gain this great and wonderful blessing? He needed simply to remember that it's not about what we do. It's about what God has done through our Lord and Savior Jesus. Through his death and resurrection on the cross, he has paid for our sins, and he has guaranteed us a wonderful and glorious life with him. To my confirmands, especially, this is a very special day. As you are, for the first time, going to be receiving the Lord's true body and blood in the sacrament of this altar. But as you go forth from today, remember also what God did for you in your baptisms. Life is going to get a lot more complicated for you in the days and the weeks and the years to come. You have a lot of decisions to make. The responsibilities you face will increase. And there will be times when you will think, "Man, I blew it. Does anybody love me? Does anybody care?" There are times when you will become depressed. And you will lose hope. And you will feel despair. And if those things should come upon you, and likely they will, you need to do what Luther did. You need to remember the gift your parents gave to you a long time ago when they brought you to the altar and presented you before God. You need to remember what God gave to you because you were too weak and powerless to take it for yourselves. Remember, you were baptized. And in that baptism, you became God's child. Your sins have been forgiven. Your hope guaranteed through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember your baptism. Amen.